Well, Jed and James and Ang are going to come and read to us from God's Word, first from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and then from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 13.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments."
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. "Be under obligation to no one. The only obligation you have is to love one another. Whoever does this has obeyed the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not desire what belongs to someone else. All these and any other besides are summed up in one command. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. If you love others, you will never do them wrong. To love, then, is to obey the whole law. This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you. So let's pray. Father God, we have just affirmed that we have heard you speaking to us. Continue to speak so that we may live our lives in the light of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning of this year, the upmarket American business magazine Forbes ran an article entitled "The 10 Golden Rules on Living the Good Life." Let me read them to you. First of all, examine life. Always search for new pleasures and new destinies. Secondly, worry only about the things that are in your control. Thirdly, treasure friendship. Fourthly, experience true pleasure. Avoid shallow and transient pleasures. Fifthly, master yourself. Complete liberty necessitates a struggle within, a battle to subdue negative psychological and spiritual forces. Sixthly, avoid excess. Dear, oh dear, I should have done that yesterday. Seventhly, be a responsible human being. Stop the blame shifting for your errors and shortcomings. Eighthly, don't be a prosperous fool. Prosperity by itself is not a cure-all against an ill-led life and may be a source of dangerous foolishness. Ninthly, don't do evil to others. Harming others claims two victims, the receiver of the harm and the victimizer, the one who does harm. And ten, kindness towards others tends to be rewarded. All fascinating, but highly unmemorable. By contrast, in the Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus giving one basic rule for living. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, we read, "Do for others what you want them to do for you. This is the meaning of Moses, the meaning of the law of Moses and of the teachings of the prophets." Or as Peterson puts it in his paraphrase, here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. Or in the more traditional rendering, do as you would be done by. Any of you here remember having to read The Water Babies by Charles Kingsley? There was the Mrs. Do As You Would Be Done By, and the Mrs. Be Done By As You Did. Do for others what you want them to do for you. Since the time of the 3rd century Roman Emperor Alexander Severus, this has been known as the Golden Rule. This emperor was not actually a Christian, but he had his bedroom inscribed with these words in gold. The Golden Rule, it's so simple, but so profound. It is the ultimate guide for the living of life. And yet I've got a confession to make this morning. In all the years of being a preacher, I have never preached on these words of Jesus. And I asked myself, why not? I thought, well, perhaps I've never preached on them because they don't really enshrine the gospel. There is little good news here. But is that a reason for not preaching it? Probably not. The golden rule. Do as you would be done by. Now, interestingly, we find versions of the golden rule in all the main religions of the world. The famous Jewish rabbi Hillel, when challenged by a non-Jew to teach the whole law while I'm standing on one leg, replied, "Do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to you. This is the whole law, the rest is commentary." And effectively, he was just repeating the words found in the book of Tobit, which we find in the Old Testament Apocrypha, "Don't do to anyone what you yourself would hate." The Buddha said something similar. "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself find hurtful." Confucius said, "What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others." The Hindu scriptures state, "One should never do that to another which one regards as injurious to one's own self." And the Stoics, for good measure, said, "Don't do to others what you would not wish done to yourself." How do you react when you hear these parallels? Some people get uncomfortable. It seems to rob Jesus of originality. And it seems as if Jesus is simply restating ancient wisdom. And yet, for all the parallels, there are differences. And did you notice the key difference? The key difference is this, that the golden rule is a call to positive action. I find it quite significant that all the parallels I've read to you are all about don't. They're all expressed in a negative form, are they not? Don't do to others what you would not want them to do to you. If you don't like being robbed, then don't rob somebody. If you don't like being cursed, then don't curse somebody. If you don't like being hit over the head, then don't hit somebody else over the head. By contrast, the golden rule is positive in expression, and it gives a very different feel. If you enjoy being loved, then love others. If you like to receive things, then give to others. If you like being appreciated and stroked, well, do the same to others. And as a result, some people have called the negative form of the golden rule the silver rule, because they simply prohibit wrong action. But the TOPS, the golden rule, is about proactive action. Yes, in its negative form, you wouldn't necessarily do anything. But in its positive form, you've got to do something. In the words of one commentator, the golden rule is of no use to you whatsoever unless you realize that it is your move. Needless to say, there have been some smart alecks who've sought to criticize Jesus. George Bernard Shaw declared that the golden rule is that there are no golden rules. Instead, in his Maxims for Revolutionists, he suggested an alternative rule. Do not do unto others as you would that they should do unto you. Their tastes may not be the same. In that respect, it's been said that a sadist is just a masochist who follows the golden rule. And the German philosopher Immanuel Kant criticized the golden rule for not being sensitive to differences of situation. He argued that following the golden rule would mean that a prisoner convicted of a crime could appeal to the golden rule and then be released. And furthermore, the judge would not want anyone else to do the sentencing, so he should not do so to others. Well, if you find all this logic somewhat picky, you're absolutely right. Because frankly, what we have here is a rule of thumb. Of course, tastes and situations vary. If you are a Frenchman and you love frogs, You might think it would be loving to give me a frog to eat, but frankly, no thank you. We're all different, are we not? So you've got to be careful how you apply it. But as a rule of thumb, we do have here a guide for living. And what's more, remember that this kind of rule for thumb was desperately needed in the context in which Jesus lived. Because the religious leaders of his day had created a maze of rules and regulations. You know, they were the Ten Commandments. But in order to stop people breaking a commandment, they then built, as it were, a hedge round each one of the rules. I mean, take the command about not working on the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. The rabbis used to ask, well, what was work? And in the first instance, the scribes said that meant not carrying a burden. But then what was a burden? And the scribes answered, food equal in weight to a dried fig, enough wine for mixing in a goblet, milk enough for one swallow, honey enough to put upon a wound, oil enough to anoint a small member, water enough to moisten an eye salve, paper enough to write a notice upon, ink enough to write two letters of the alphabet, and so on and so forth. There were thousands and thousands of these rules. If you don't believe me, then go to the library and dig out the Jewish Mishnah, which represented the codification of the oral law that runs to some 800 pages in English. And then later on, there was the Talmud, which was a commentary on the Mishnah, and the Jerusalem Talmud runs to 12 volumes, and the Babylonian Talmud runs to 60 volumes. It was an incredible business, this lawmaking. But Jesus liberated his followers from the religious experts. Instead of listing a host of new rules for his new community, he laid down this general principle. Do as you would be done by. Or as the Good News Bible puts it, do for others what you want them to do for you. How do you want to be treated? Act accordingly. So it's a call to action, to do something positive. Secondly, it's a call to love. Now, we had that reading, did we not, from Matthew 22. There was an occasion when a teacher of the law asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. And the second most important commandment is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. And essentially, the golden rule draws out the principle of this second commandment. And this becomes very clear when we look at the way in which Luke places these words of Jesus in his gospel. Because in Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, the golden rule comes within a passage where Jesus is calling his disciples to love their enemies. Luke 6, for instance, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who ill-treat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you. Do as you would be done by is a form of loving. Now, Matthew in his gospel has a different context for the golden rule, because the golden rule follows a passage on prayer, the passage we looked at last week, which ends with the words, how much more then will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So then, says Jesus, do for others as you would be done by. Actually, the Good News Bible has omitted the word so then, and in doing so has made a lousy translation of the Greek. Because the impression of the Good News Bible is that there is no link between the teaching on prayer and the golden rule. But there is a link, and the link is of generosity. Just as God is a generous God when it comes to us asking him in prayer, so we, in turn, are to be generous to others in the way in which we treat them. It's been said, the ground of obligation is the boundless grace of God. We are to love. We are to love as we love ourselves. Now, some people don't like this idea of self-love. It doesn't sound good, does it? But it's been said that the reality is that such love is the nearest approach to absolute love of which human nature is capable. Where self-love goes wrong is when it limits love to self. So the golden rule is a call to action, it's a call to love, and perhaps most importantly this morning, I want to say that it's a call for imagination. Do for others what you want them to do for you. We have to stop and think, don't we? We have to use our imagination. I mean, you just sit there and think for a moment. How would you like to be treated by the person sitting next to you at the moment? Maybe that's a clue to how you should treat them. Incidentally, a lack of imagination can sometimes be a lack of love. In 1963, John F. Kennedy, the American president, appealed to the Golden Rule in an anti-segregation speech at the time of the first black enrollment at the University of Alabama. And he asked whites to consider what it would be like to be treated as a second-class citizen because of their color. He told them to imagine themselves being black, being told that they couldn't vote, or go to the best public schools, or eat at most public restaurants, or sit in the front of the bus. And he went on to say, the heart of the question is whether we're going to treat our fellow Americans as we want to be treated. To apply the golden rule requires imagination. It requires creativity. It's not a looking back to see what others have done to you. It's a looking forward and anticipating what others would like to be done. So let me encourage you to use your imagination. What can you do for others? Okay, that depends on who the others are. You might just think of your family. You might think of your colleagues. You might even think of your brothers and sisters here at church. Now, a little later in this service, I will be welcoming into membership some 5 people. We will be promising to love them, care for them, and pray for them. But what about applying the golden rule to them? What about if we suddenly asked ourselves, how can we bless these people? What could we do for them? How would we like to be treated were we them? What would you like to be happening at this very moment? Would you like to be taken out to the county hotel for lunch? Is that what we should be doing to them? Incidentally, I'll become a new member too. But can you see the point I'm getting at? We need to use our imagination. We need to be creative in our thinking. In a few moments, we shall be gathering around the table. And we shall remember that the God who calls us to be imaginative in our loving of others is the God who has acted beyond our wildest imagining. He is the God who sent his Son to die for each one of us, that we might be forgiven, that we might have new life. God has loved us beyond our deserving. The truth is that through our own sinful and selfish behavior, we've repeatedly gone against his pattern of living. And yet he has loved us beyond measure. It is this amazing God, this amazingly loving God, who calls us to do for others what you want them to do for you. Let's have a few moments' silence as we reflect on what God may be saying. Jesus says, do for others as you would want them to do for you. Lord Jesus, help each one of us to face up to this challenge. Help us to be imaginative in our loving. Help us to be generous in our loving. Help us to follow the golden rule. We ask this for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.